Hello, internet. I was just on vacation. Just everybody forgot. And I wonder, like, did anyone email in the show? I didn't see anyone in the Facebook group and went, hey, man. Oh, no, wait, no, we didn't talk about that. We were off air. Never mind. So nobody heard me announce that I was on vacation because we had stopped recording when I announced my vacation.
Did you go somewhere fun? Squirrels.
Just Vermont, the normal place that we go.
Oh, okay.
Yep. But we had a lot more fun this year because now all of a sudden the daughter is Miss Independent. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, I'm going to go walk around. And she'd be like, I'm going to the bathroom. And I was like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom too. I'll come with you. No, I am going by myself. You stay right here. All right, fine. I'll sit here and hold it for a little bit while you go to the bathroom.
Oh, the teenage years will be so much fun.
We were just talking about that before you came on. How I may there may be like a double murder in my future. once the two of them get to fighting to each other.
No, oh boy!
No.
Leave a lot of hammers around. Just saying.
Should I go with dead blows or framing hammers or?
Doesn't really matter.
Okay.
Oh my God. I have sad news, folks. 2017 has claimed another.
What?
The man who played Eddie, Carla's boyfriend on Cheers, has passed away.
Who?
Oh.
Jay Thomas. I picked it up because of Jay.
Okay. Oh. Wait, I was thinking, Dan Hedaya died? Oh, that sucks. But I don't know who this other guy is.
Oh, he's like a big character.
Dan Hedaya was her husband in Cheers, right?
Might have been. I don't know. Yeah, I think you're right.
All right.
Jay, you know Dan Hedaya. He's Italian.
Nobody.
Yes, he looks like a... yes,
all the Italians know each other.
We all. It's a secret club. Yeah, he's the one that his face looks like someone lit it on fire and put it out with a golf cleat.
Yes. Yes, yeah. And his eyebrows look like two big hairy caterpillars.
Yes, well, he is Italian. You've already covered that.
Yes. But he's kind of the Italian Peter Falk with the caterpillar eyebrows.
It's Peter Falkino.
Oh my God.
Oh man, that's good. Somebody needs to, it's gotta be the point where like you can like download that morph program that was like $10,000 back in like 1992. Like so you could probably get it for like your iPhone now. If somebody has morph, somebody needs to go to the Score Report page. Take a picture of Dan Hedaya and Peter Falk, roughly the same age, because Peter, and morph the two of them together and see what happens.
Wasn't that the hell is his name? Colin, the ginger who had the late night show.
Colin Farrell?
Conan O'Brien.
Conan, yeah, I got stuck on Colin. Didn't he do it if they made it or something like that? Where did that?
Somebody did. But man, I'm looking up Morph right now. Like I need to know where are they now?
Well, Jay Thomas is dead, so.
Yeah.
I still don't know.
As soon as someone who finds out who that is.
Yeah. They're like, oh man, we played Eddie on Cheers. You know, Cheers, the show that went off the air 25 years ago?
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, kind of a boring week.
Super boring week.
Yeah.
I'm about to have a hurricane.
Yes, you are.
It's very exciting.
Is your truck nailed down? Like everything else pretty much negotiable, isn't it? Like make sure the truck doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And the cats.
Cats.
Well, fortunately, if it sticks to plan, the hurricane will not hit Houston. It's going to land south near Matagorda Bay and around Corpus Christi. So we'll just get the north end of it, which means lots and lots and lots of rain. So I went to the grocery store this afternoon. Not because I needed anything in particular, but I needed a few things that I would have got this weekend anyway. Diet Coke and some other stuff, and the store was like already half stripped, And I'm like, you know, there wasn't a bottle of water anywhere in that store. And
eggs, milk and toast too.
Yeah. I don't know.
Texans make French toast?
No, like I think they just, I don't know if we do the French toast thing. I think they live on bottled water and Pop-Tarts apparently.
Specifically in your Maine, you buy the like 1 gallon jug of B&M baked beans. That is a Maine thing.
Yeah. So I got a few bags of ice and put them in the freezer, you know, just in case. And got a bag of chips and some Cokes, and I'm set. You just have
freezer with your fridge, right?
You should have bought a carton of cigarettes, because that'll be the currency.
That'll be the currency when society collapses.
Buy a carton of coin.
Yeah, that's all right. I've got a few rifles.
Go mine some more Bitcoin,
Alan. I got a few rifles. I'll go just loot them somewhere. No big deal.
Or not Half-Life, but Fallout, where it's bottle caps.
Yeah, could be. I got a feeling, you know, people are starting to really lose their shit over this thing, and I'm kind of wondering if it's going to be a fizzle.
I heard on the Howie Cart radio show today talking about the hurricane, and he goes, oh, I wonder if this is going to save an Inconvenient sequel. Because... I guarantee you probably, like, if you do know, congratulations, but probably you don't know, because Al Gore made a sequel to his Academy Award winning lie, which was An Inconvenient Truth, ironically named Inconvenient Truth because it was all a bunch of lies, and where he's got the new bunch of predictions that won't come true because all the shit that happened in the first movie, which was what, 10 years ago? No, even longer.
No. Hurricane Sandy proved that, you know, New York was going to be underwater.
Yep.
Okay, Al, how's your houseboat doing?
Yeah. I like the idea of Florida is going to be flooded because my daughter knocked over a glass last time we were visiting her grandfather. Florida's underwater. But again, you probably don't know that there was a movie called The Inconvenient Sequel because it was eating shit in the theaters. No one was going to see it because, hey, guess what? Al Gore, you're that dude that every couple of years predicts the rapture is going to happen next week.
He's Jim Baker, only without Jessica Hahn.
Did Jim Baker predict like the apocalypse or the rapture?
I don't know,
but I heard that Joel Osteen's congregation is collecting eclipse viewing glasses so they can actually look at his teeth now.
Oh man, I almost spit Sazerac all over my computer screen with that one, you son of a bitch. That's funny. The only reason why you didn't get the immediate laugh is this is Sazerac, this is gonna hurt.
Yeah.
Oh man. All right. So that's a good segue there. Who of all of us watched the eclipse?
I did.
I did.
I watched
kind of
part of it.
I saw it for about 8 seconds.
I was bumbling around the house and I could not give a fuck about the eclipse. And then about an hour before it happened, I went, "Eh, what if it's cool?" So I quickly ran down into my recycling bin where I knew there was a tin of Pringles, and I ran a punch through the bottom of it, made a pinhole camera,
mm-hmm.
and then quickly, you know, held it up over my porch, and brought it to focus and got a perfectly circular, you know, piece of light in the shadow of the bottom of the Pringles can, and went, okay, well there that. Well, wait, is that the round sun or is that just a round hole in the cup?
Right. Oh, it's a Pringles.
And then about, you know, an hour later, the sky suddenly started looking weird. So I held the Pringles can up and I'll be damned. Look, there was a little nick taken out of the corner of it.
And
it got a little smaller, then it got bigger. And overall, like, I kind of don't get, I mean, I, I get that it's something that doesn't happen very often, but I don't know, man. It's one of those like, okay, so first up, let's laugh at all the people that are suddenly like, the sun, because it's eclipsing, is way more deadly than the sun is like any other time. Like the number of people that are like, don't look at the sun, you know, or my neighbor had also built a pinhole camera and she was like, well, I'm trying to focus on the sun, but I don't know where the sun is. I'm like, look up at the sky. You know where the sun is every other day of the year. Just now, all of a sudden, because it's the eclipse, now all of a sudden it's got the crazy death rays. You just don't look directly at it.
Yes.
For any length of time.
I also like a couple of times when I saw like, oh man, like it's getting really dusky and weird out here. Like the sky looks really cool and crazy. Let me just take a quick peek up. And I quickly peeked up at the sun and boop, nope, it looks exactly like the sun. It is bright. And like, I just don't get like the people that are like, oh yeah, no, I got blinded by this because I looked at the solar eclipse last time. Or I heard a story in the news that like someone had burnt out their vision, complete vision.
My watch is melted.
Watching the solar eclipse. And I'm like, how do you do that?
Have you seen people?
Point taken.
But yeah, we had an eclipse program at the library. Did I talk about this?
Please tell the story. Please tell the story.
Which story?
About the people at the eclipse.
I don't think I talked about this. Like,
no, you didn't.
No, it was this week. Okay, so all right. Oh my god.
talk about people.
Already the best start ever.
Okay, so. I don't even know where to begin. All right. So the library I work at, they had decided to have an eclipse program. Now, the reason why libraries did this all across the country, apparently, was because when we have a program, we count the people who attend the program. And it counts towards like our statistics that we send to the state to get money. So that's why like all your libraries are always having programs and stuff. It brings people in. They might possibly circulate items. They might check stuff out, but also we count how many people are there and we send those statistics to the people who send us money. Anyway, so we had this eclipse program and we decided, okay, we're going to have, we ordered 100 pairs of glasses to give away. Eclipse glasses. And people were because the news has, you know, they hyped up the eclipse so much, and we weren't even in like totality. We're like 70-80% totality, so it wasn't like, you know, you're going to be able to see the eclipse, you know. But anyway, we did this program. We got 100 pairs of glasses, and we decided that we were going to give the glasses away first come, first serve, starting at 1 p.m. The program starts at 1, and I guess they had like other, we have a snow cone machine. We give away snow cones. We had the glasses. They had crafts for the kids and the live feed from NASA set up in the meeting room, like on the big projector screen. So we had that. And, whatever. And so leading up to the eclipse, people were calling and it was crazy. And like, I think in 4 hours, they got 60 some phone calls just about the eclipse. And people were kind of generally like a little cuckoo about the getting the free glasses. And so the program started at 1 o'clock and people were lined up outside the door before we even opened at 9. And we let people in and we're like, you know, the program starts and, you know, we're like, hey, can we help you? Can we help you find something? Oh no, we're here for the glasses. Okay. Well, the program starts at 1 and it's 9 o'clock right now. So you can go home and then come back, you know, maybe at 12:30 or so. Oh no. We're going to wait. So, you know, it was like that all day. And we had like random people coming in, people who've never probably stepped foot in the library. They were coming in looking for their free glasses because they heard it on the news. And
aren't these like $3 a piece
or less? Less.
way less.
I'm going to look to see, because now's a buyer's market. Let's look at
Eclipse. I don't know where we bought them from, but they were less than probably a dollar a
piece. Yeah, they were.
I mean, they're really cheap.
Yeah, if you buy them in bulk, they're like less than maybe 10 cents a piece. They're really cheap.
I had a woman come in, and she came in at like 10 o'clock, and she tried to give me the sob story about her sick elderly mother couldn't come in to get glasses. So could she have some glasses to take home? I was like, no, sorry. You know, it's first come, first serve. Come back at 1 o'clock, get in line with everybody else. And, you know, so she was all upset because she heard on the news that she had to go to the library to see the eclipse. And really, at that point, I started thinking, there's a lot of people who don't understand what an eclipse is.
Of course not.
For instance, I had a woman come up to me and she said to me, is the eclipse program going to be inside or outside? Well, ma'am, the sun is outside the building. So what do you think? You know, it's like one of those, like, and people thought that they could only see the eclipse at the library, and you know, a woman brought in her whole camera setup and set up a tripod and, you know, this whole big shebang. And I'm like, couldn't you do this at home? Like, you know, and people thought that they would get their glasses at the library and go outside and put them on and see the eclipse. They didn't realize it took like a number of hours to occur and there was a peak time and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's just like, I don't know. And I follow on Facebook this librarian programming group. And we all talk about programs we put on for patrons. And of course, the eclipse thing was like the big thing. And and one woman, she said, oh, my God, I'm so glad we're closed today. She said, we're closed on Mondays, but I work full time. So I actually go to the library on Mondays. And the building's locked and the lights are off and everything. But I sit in my office and I do work. And she said, people were coming to the library and banging on the windows and rattling the doors, trying to get in to get their free eclipse glasses. And she's like, we don't even have glasses because we're closed today.
Wow.
Mass hysteria.
Cats and dogs living together.
Yeah. Oh, I'm finding places where you can get like one or two pairs for like $5.
Yeah, they're
cheap. Yeah, that's what amazed me. This is not something they discovered like the week before. Oh.
By the way, here's another like liberal thing is the people like the people that are all like the minimum wage needs to be a gazillion dollars. Don't mm-hmm. also realize that means that an hour of your time to do whatever task it is that somebody else needs to be done is worth $17. So you're going to spend half a day at a library that you've got no interest in or want to be there for a pair of glasses that you could have got like at the, like the most, like, I just found like somebody on Amazon selling like a 3-pack for $20.
Right.
Which is outrageous.
Line, the actual and, line for these 100 pairs of glasses, mind you, the actual line started at 11 a.m. So people were waiting in line for 2 hours to get a free pair of glasses that I really don't. I think they maybe cost. We got 100 pairs of glasses. I can't see our library director spending more than $50. So I think they bought them in bulk and got them cheap.
Yep. No, it's one of those. I know the hourly rate that I go for, and I keep that in mind all the time.
Like, I do too.
There's been times where like I got into the grocery. I've especially like back when my daughter was small, we'd come out of the grocery store and I'd be putting her away, and I'd reach into my pocket and I'd find like a dollar off coupon for something that I bought, and went, shit, I forgot to give them that coupon. Well, if I go to the grocery store counter. Mm-hmm. If I go to the grocery store counter and show them the receipt that I've got and show them my coupon, and they see that the coupon's not on there, they will take my coupon and, you know, and they'll do that. And I started doing my math on all that of like that. There's probably a line there.
Yeah.
And the person that works the customer service counter at the grocery store is the dumbest person at the grocery store. And so because they're the ones that are going to be. Yeah, exactly. And I just did the math in my head, and I'm like, "Yep, nope, that dollar is going out the window on that." Yep, no, I'll bring it next time.
That's exactly why I don't change my own oil.
Yeah, I don't either. It's not worth the effort.
Nope.
It's absolutely, you know, I mean, those of you that do, God bless you, but it's just not worth it.
Nope.
It's totally not worth it. It cost me like $35-$40 to have it done. I do it at the dealership because the car's still relatively new.
I have my mechanic do it.
Yeah.
Well, the last time I went to it was Jiffy Lube. And when I say the last time I went to Jiffy Lube, I mean the last time I went to Jiffy Lube, they were charging me about $10 less than my mechanic, and it was a little faster. So the math did the same. And they just spent so much time trying to rook me and upsell me and all that stuff. I'm just like, you know what? Fuck you guys. I'm done.
Yeah.
My time is worth money. My aggravation's worth money. So I take it to my mechanic, and unlike the people at Jiffy Lube that are the dumbest human beings on
Earth.
You know what I'm saying. But my mechanic will see stuff that's broken.
So anyway, about that eclipse.
But so the big thing that I got on the eclipse is I'm, you know, here I am looking at it. You know, my neighbor built one of the pinhole cameras with a cereal box with a piece of foil.
Yep.
All that. And that was relatively nice. And then I saw a few people like down the street were standing outside with their eclipse glasses on. And I just went, oh, that's interesting. And then when I went to go pick my daughter up at daycare, there was a pair of eclipse glasses sitting in the lobby that some parent had dropped off. Just in case somebody wanted, they probably did what everybody else did, buy a 10 pack of eclipse glasses for, you know, so it was cheap. And I put them on and I'm like, they might as well be just solid cardboard when you're not staring at the sun. And so I'm like,
right.
Even so, the big thing that I got about the solar eclipse is, I mean, maybe you get like half a second if you're in the total eclipse zone.
It's like 2 minutes.
Yeah. Where you can look up and you're not going to burn out your retinas. Right. But otherwise you're wearing these dark ass glasses. So you're seeing a field. It's like you're arc welding.
Yeah.
You're seeing you're seeing a field of black with that. And again, you talk to anybody who's a welder, you weld by feel. Like you've got the glasses and you are looking, but you're really not seeing much.
Yeah. All you see is the bright spark.
Yeah.
Yeah. The best part of the eclipse for me was, you know, I actually poked a hole in some foil and kind of aimed it at a piece of paper on the ground. And I was like, oh, look, there it is. Okay, cool. But the best part for me is how weird the light gets.
The color that it created was really cool.
Yeah. It's just so weird.
Yeah. Felt like mirror universe kind of a thing.
Yeah. There's a shift. Like, yeah. Whoa, like, you know, the shadows are really weird and the color is weird. And yeah, it's like all of a sudden, you know, it's cool. That's the best part for me. You know, I didn't even really care about looking up the sun. I was like, yeah, okay. You know, you'll see like a piece taken out of the sun. Woo. Okay. But the color is just, you know,
bizarre. Yeah.
I think unless you can see the totality, I don't think it's, I mean, the eclipse isn't really that exciting.
Even then, I kind of like, I bet it's really, really cool. Is it drive halfway across the country to get a hotel room for $600 at a shitty Motel 6?
No,
no,
no.
Well, the next total eclipse goes over Cleveland in 7 years.
Right. Yeah. Over Cleveland.
Baby. It goes through the middle of Texas too.
However,
I think 85 hours from you.
I think we have a better chance of having clear skies than you.
Yeah, I know. Let's all go to Texas because April in Cleveland, you do not get like clear skies. So
sometimes you do. Get those if it's really fucking cold, you'll get those
after a good snow
20 below and crystal clear days.
No, we don't get those.
Oh, you don't get those?
No, we don't. It can be 20 below, but it is gray as fuck all winter long.
Oh, no shit.
The only time we get crystal clear blue skies in the wintertime is right after a giant snowstorm.
Yep.
Otherwise, it's like gray.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, the lake effect must be the lake effect.
Oh, yeah.
Because, yeah, New England, you'll get like, I think you can actually get some of the most crystal clear days actually, I'll say right up, you get the most crystal clear days because you'll get, it'll be, you know, it'll be 8 degrees outside and there's zero humidity, zero cloud cover. There's just no haze.
Nope.
Versus, you know, even in like late fall where you can get some really clear, you know, clear days, there's still a little bit of humidity in the air. No. Not when it's 8 degrees out, like every ounce of humidity just got squeezed out of that air.
Yeah.
You're practically too cold in space. To snow. Yeah. Too cold to snow is exactly it.
Yeah. Not here. Great. So
speaking of New England, do you guys hear about what happened in Boston?
Yes.
Yeah. A little bit, you know.
So they were protesting free speech.
I didn't look into it deep enough, but I've got to wonder about there was on Boston Common, a very small group. I get the impression it was something like it was definitely less than 100 people. If I had a bet, I'd bet it would be somewhere in the vicinity of 20 to 50 people. Had a free speech rally and they pulled a permit and all that. I've got to wonder the amount of people that it was and the fact that it was in Boston. That is small and cheap enough for it to be a George Soros could just be like, oh yeah, no, I'll hire a couple of people to be the free speech right wingers. Or libertarians, sure. Or whatever they were supposed to be.
Well, Sorry, go ahead.
I was about to say, when I was reading the initial reports, I'm like, wait a second. No. Wait, realizing that like quickly of the, oh, wait, no, there was like, there's almost no mention of the protest. All the talk was of the counter protest. And, you know, when you read about the Charlottesville, you know, little Klan rally that they had,
which was led by a Democratic operative.
Well, right. It was a Klan rally.
No.
And Occupy Wall Street guy.
Yeah. The guy that led the whoever they were, the white supremacist Nazis, whatever they were, the guy that organized the whole thing and led it was an Occupy Wall Street guy that worked for the Obama campaign.
So wait, so is this just, is George Soros trying to buy cheap land?
You know,
he's one more riot away from being able to buy most of Baltimore.
Yeah. Well, who knows? But it's got a feeling of, you know, the way the media is hyping the shit out of all this.
Yeah.
And the way the police are just standing back and letting it happen.
Mm-hmm.
It has a very manufactured feel to it.
Well, that's the big thing is, so the big thing is what I know. I'm going to say my speculation is I kind of wonder if these people were either, there's some people that say that they were right wingers. There are some people that say that they were white supremacists. There are some people that say they were libertarians. I'm going to say right now, just on pure speculation, that these guys were pure shills. These guys were hired actors. These guys were operatives because it was almost nobody.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
What's happening?
Autoplay on a damn.
Fuck autoplay. But like a bunch of people and like literally like a handful of people showed up on Boston Common for a quote unquote free speech rally. And that's all I know about these people. And then like 2,000 mixed bag of left-wing radicals showed up. And as soon as they did, the Boston PD escorted the permitted rally, the free speech rally off the common. And then the left-wingers again, I believe I've said this several times here. Don't ever go to any place where left wingers are quote unquote protesting.
Oh yeah.
They don't know how to do it. They just know how to riot.
Yeah.
They proceeded to riot and they were throwing rocks. And the big thing that I get, this is getting a lot of play. You know what they were throwing?
Urine.
They were throwing bottles filled with urine. These fuckers weren't even housebroken.
Sorry. Fucking.
Which means that before this, they were pissing in bottles.
Yeah, they were getting ready.
They were absolutely. It's premeditation.
Of course.
Oh, this is, I mean, this is, I mean, the big thing that I've got, I mean, another side note, I don't want to go too deep into it because this is a friend of mine and they need to be spoken to. But a friend of mine posted one of these like Antifa, you know, brown supremacist rants on Facebook. What? Oh, just the, you've been seeing all this shit of just I see it a lot on just the, it's very, very formulaic. It's very much, I'm the victim. Mm. And as I said to my wife read it and showed it to me. And she went, this is really upsetting me. This is really the, like talked about, like made mention of my white friends say mm-hmm. this. And she went, what the fuck? Am I her white friends?
Yes, you are. Yes.
Yeah.
You are.
Never mind the fact that my wife is Irish and Italian. Ain't no white there.
I am a French,
English, German, and Scottish heritage. Don't you dare call yourself white, my dear. but what the fuck? Am I your white friend? Like, and yes. I'm like, Yeah. No. And the whole, like, you know, you don't know what it's like to be, you know, X race. And I mean, that's just a conversation stopper. But at the same time, like everyone who says like, oh yeah, no, I got pulled over. You don't know what it's like to be black. And then meanwhile, people like, you know, Jay and I who are, well, I mean, I'm white. Jay. Jay has been confused as white, you know, who were at one point teenage males with vehicles and doing stupid ass shit in those vehicles. Yep. Oddly enough, the cops still pull us over.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, you know, in states like Maine and Vermont, where we really don't have much as far as color goes, I believe the number two, you know, racial demographic in Maine, number one is white at like 98% or 97%. Number two is Native American, which if you haven't, you know, met the acquaintance of a Northeast Native American, they're pretty goddamn pale. They do not look like Pocahontas.
Can I just interrupt for a second?
Sure.
You know, the Squirrel Report page on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
the Squirt page. I recently had one of our listeners joined and he joined the group and I welcomed him in or whatever. And he said in a comment or sent me a message, I can't remember. He said that he actually thought I was a black woman. But
is it,
you know,
because
if
you're
you go
so
on,
sassy?
No, because you keep saying it on the show. And he saw my picture on the Facebook page and he was like, wait a minute, I thought you were black. Like he really thought I was black.
That's funny.
Technically.
Oh, jeez.
The whitest black person.
I know.
Needless to say, like,
I don't know.
Wait. No, that was Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was the whitest black person. Yes.
But needless to say, this whole racist rant sort of thing, like I said, I'm not going to shout out this person. I'm not going to go too deep into things. But this whole racist rant may not even be a racist rant because, as I said to my wife, who is not a creature of the internet like I am, what she wrote there was very fashionable. This is a very fashionable thing to do. And the same thing goes with, actually, there was a little bit of blowback to it. And her response was a very fashionable response. It was something that I had read many, many times before. And again, there's a lot of very fashionable things to do. And evidently now one of the, all the way full circle, get back around to the point of the riot. So now the fashionable thing to do is to piss into bottles so you can throw it at people, specifically at police officers.
Are you allowed to shoot somebody for that?
Because apparently lighting a bag of dog poop on fire is so last year.
Yeah.
They're exhibiting, I mean, I don't want to insult, I don't want to insult teenagers by saying they're acting like teenagers, because they're acting worse than teenagers. You know what my favorite part about that whole coverage was, Weird? They were proud that only 27 people were arrested. That was like, oh, well, well, Antifa hasn't killed anyone. I'm like, well, it's not for lack of trying.
Black Lives Matter has.
Yeah.
And by the way, again, note that there was a rally in Charlottesville. And again, here's a big statement that I've got to make overall, is what we don't want to be doing is choosing fucking sides in this fucking bullshit. The solution is don't play the goddamn game. Like the proper answer is whether you're a Trump hating ultra lefty Bernie was robbed person, or you are a Make America Great Again wearing hat person, voted Republican, voted for Mitt Romney because you know what, you know, better than that black Muslim president. Either way, your answer is to the group of the, oh, this group on this side was having a riot, and this group on this side was having a riot. The proper answer is fuck both of them. I am not part of you.
Yeah. Here's a news flash. They can both be bad. They can both be wrong. Nobody says, you know what? The Bloods are a horrible group, so the Crips, they're okay with me. Yeah. No, they don't.
But so Jay, let me ask you a quick question. How many people were killed in that Charlottesville?
Jay's incident? A blood apologist.
Yes. Yeah, thank you, Alan. As far as I know, one.
One person was killed.
Yes, two other people died, but it had nothing to do with the what was going on other than they were in a helicopter.
What?
Like two police officers were killed when their helicopter crashed.
Oh, okay.
Now, it wasn't brought down by anything, and you know, there's nothing to suggest that the only reason it crashed was because it went up that night.
Believe it or not, the Dukes of Hazzard was a joke, and you can't get a Dodge Challenger to get that high.
Yeah, but I mean, they've got to be thinking, Antifa has to be thanking their lucky stars that shithead got in his car.
Okay, but I got to interrupt you real quick, Jay. Though,
oh wait,
I asked you, so one person was killed in the violent activities of the Charlottesville. How many people were killed was it Dallas? Yeah, where the Black Lives Matter riot was happening?
Six, if you count the person responsible, but
we're and, only talking humans. And so. how was the Charlottesville event described?
Mm-hmm.
A violent, hate-filled, you know, encounter. And how was the Black Lives Matter event countered?
A peaceful protest.
Hardly at all.
Mostly peaceful.
Sure.
Yeah.
Again, note that like a friend of mine sent me a video from when he was stationed in Mosul, Iraq, back when, you know, we controlled Mosul. I think we control Mosul again now, but or the Iraqis do. And most of the time he was just, you know, walking around. Sometimes with a rifle slung over his shoulder and just doing stuff. You know, yeah, there was mortar fire in the background, but it was mostly peaceful. Yeah. A war zone.
Yeah.
Like I'm kind of curious on, I mean, besides the fact of, you know, someone wearing a Make American Great Again, you know, hat unleashing a righteous bean burrito fart. What else would the media describe as a violent riot?
Yeah.
Well, I understand again, that like, yes, that someone wearing a Make America Great Again hat, you know, picking their nose is a violent, horrible riot that needs immediate intervention and note from the president. But what on the left would be considered a riot? Because I would say people throwing piss bottles and rocks saying, what do we want? Dead cops. What do we want it now? And then someone with a Saiga rifle opening fire on the motherfucking police officers and the police officers having to deploy a kill bot to destroy him.
It used the correct term. They candy gram for mongoed him.
Okay.
Mongo.
Oh, goodness. So, well, what I love is, They followed the same playbook they've been using all along. There was an event. The protesters showed up, or rioters showed up, started beating the shit out of people, and the news the next morning was, another blank event turned violent. They did that at Trump rallies. Mm-hmm. They would show up, they'd start beating the shit out of people, and the news the next morning was
they were paid to
violence,
show up people.
Violence breaks out at Trump rally. Oh, it's so to give you the impression that it was Trump supporters who were violent when it was nothing of the sort. And we saw it happen. We saw it happen. As much as I hate Illinois Nazis, I hate Charlottesville Nazis, they went through the proper procedures and got a permit. They did the right thing. And mm-hmm. and it affronts me. It bothers me greatly, this thought that hate speech should be outlawed. Because newsflash, nitwits, Donald, worse than Hitler, Trump is the president. He's the motherfucker that gets to decide what is or isn't hate speech, you vacuous ninny.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, I hate gays, Pence is the vice president. He also gets to determine what is or isn't hate speech. You want a gay cake baked for you? Fuck you, that's hate speech. You want to have an abortion? Fuck you, that's hate speech. This is what you want to hand people. You want to hand them the ability to do this. Yep.
You correct somebody with your pronouns. Well, that's not, hate speech.
That's not actually what they want. What they want is straight out of the communist playbook. They want to destabilize the government and replace it.
Yeah, that's the bottom line. Is again, I'm tinfoil hat on. I just cannot believe that. Since there was such a small group of people, and again, this is Boston, Massachusetts. This is Crazyville. It's not quite San Francisco, but pretty damn close. And they managed to get a bunch of libertarians decided to get together here. I'm sorry. Look, the war is lost here. I'm just scratching to hang on here. Jay, you made the smart move getting the fuck out of Dodge. Why would a group of libertarians gather here to have a free, bother to pull a permit and go through all the bullshit? Cause you guarantee pulling a permit for it being a free speech rally and you don't have you're not sliding a George Soros business card across the table. You know, they had to give him a whole bunch of shit. They gave me a ton of shit when I asked for my gun permit. That's how they do things here in ultra liberal Massachusetts. No, they did not. They would get a ration of shit for it. I am willing to bet this was a shill group. It was too small. It's so cheap, and they were only there for like an hour. It would be so cheap to get just a bunch of union fucking bumpkins to stand up and hold some signs and then say, and you know what? We're gonna pledge this as something crazy, but don't worry. As soon as the cavalry shows up to beat up the Nazis, the Boston police are going to escort you out. Because again, there was zero clashes between opposing protesters. It was simply leftists showed up and they started stealing shit, breaking things, and attacking the cops. And by the way, on the police incident report, one of the police officers had his riot shield broken.
Wow.
Think about that.
They were burning signs that said free speech.
Yes.
I mean,
and they were identifying as anti-fascists.
Yeah. Yeah. And these are the good guys. Remember, according to the media, these are the good guys. Oh, only 27 of them were arrested. Newsflash, idiot. This is Boston, Massachusetts. Marty fucking Walsh is the mayor.
Yep. This was firmly a stand down. 100
of them should have gone to jail. But that was the minimum number. Those were the people who were so egregious, they could not let them go.
Yes.
And you're happy. Oh, boy. Only 27 people were arrested.
I mean, one of the guys that got arrested, I was just hearing his hilarious thing was one of the guys that was arrested was a guy who showed up with a gas mask, and when they shot a tear gas canister, wait, no, no, Was that here or was that Arizona? That was Arizona.
The guy that got shot in the dick. The greatest video in the history of...
Oh, I haven't seen the video of it. Oh, dude, there's a video.
You got to see it.
It is the most...
You have to watch the Yakety Sax version.
Yes.
Because that's the best.
The cop who fired that second canister should never, ever pay for beer again. I would start a GoFundMe campaign to pay his bar tab.
It's on the Squirrel Port Facebook page. I posted it.
Weird. Here's a question for you. Or Brita, I know you interviewed some people. How many people were arrested at Tea Party rallies? Like all of them.
That would be a zero,
Jay. I bet it's a number much smaller than 27. And remember, all of the riots when Trump was elected, they brought up the Tea Party. Well, the right rioted when Obama was elected too. No. There were protests. The Tea Party.
The left doesn't know the difference between a riot and a protest.
Oh, it's happening. It's happening. I'm watching. Ow!
Seriously, folks, if you haven't seen
with a tear gas canister, more. If you haven't seen this video,
you owe it to yourself to watch it. You will laugh, I guarantee you.
Beautiful.
Oh. The only way that could have been better is if in the very end, when his buddy in the Colin Kaepernick shirt was helping him off, if they hit him in the ass with a third canister. That's the only way it could have gotten better. As he's limping off with his bruised nuts, and just one more, just adding insult to injury.
Literally adding injury to injury.
Yeah.
But in a very insulting way.
I mean, you know, they could use an F-79 too.
Really, listen to like the police reports. They play down the fact that they were getting hit with rocks and piss bottles and they were getting the shit kicked out of them. Under no circumstance has any official from Boston described this as a riot.
Right. And how much did it cost to clean up? There's another question.
Oh,
because we know it wasn't the people who pulled the permit because they were escorted out early.
And the last time I was on the Boston Common was after Mara Healey did her little assault weapons ban bullshit. And 2,000 gun owners showed up. We did our chance. We made our presence known. There was some speeches done and all that. And then when the last speaker was done, all of a sudden I saw at least two dozen black contractor bags get pulled out of someone's backpack and people started policing up the garbage. And I guarantee there were empty bottles and cigarette butts from the homeless people that sleep there at night.
Yeah. That got left it cleaner than you found it.
Cleaner than we found it.
And how many people were arrested at that rally?
That would be absolutely zero.
Gee, imagine that.
How many people would be a protest. There were bottles getting tossed around. There were people walking around with cases of spring water, handing them out to anyone who might need a bottle of water.
Right. How many bottles of urine were thrown?
I brought some to the Boston Children's Museum where my wife and child were and threw some in the urinal there. I kept it inside. That's the same way I snuck beer into the prom.
You pissed in it?
What?
You pissed in it?
Oh, no. How you sneak beer into the prom? You drink it in the parking lot outside.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. But, you know, that was a gun owner's violent protest.
Yeah. And that just simply got zero coverage.
Yeah.
This was 2,000 people and it was national news.
Yeah.
We were 2,000 people and we got nothing. By the way, for those who don't know, right across the street from the State House, right where we were going, was the Fox News studio.
Yeah.
And they were nice enough to have a live shot after we'd all gone home and there was a couple of people still milling about.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice.
The larger issue for me is just this is a tactic we've seen from the left over and over, that there is something, whether it's a Trump campaign event, whether it's a group you disagree with holding a rally, whatever. Left-leaning people show up, they start beating the crap out of people and cause the event to be shut down. Now, there was a group, let me try to remember this. Wasn't there a group that did the same thing? They beat up their political enemies to silence them?
Yeah.
And we called them something. It started with an F.
KKK.
Yeah, yes.
The Democrats.
Brown shirts.
The brown shirts. It should be the brown pants. That guy certainly was.
Yeah. Yeah, I guarantee the idea that
you call yourself anti-fascist and you are you've got the fascist playbook and you're running with it.
Well, this is straight out of the communist playbook. I mean, this is what the communists and anarchists, who are really just communists, have done since the 18 late, you know, since forever. I mean, well, since they've existed, it's what they do.
Really quick there. You got to be very specific here. Is that yes, there were communists and fascists, but they were only communists and fascists after they had completely seized total control. Once you have a dictatorship, then you implement an ism. But the people that are implementing a dictatorship are 110% anarchists. Adolf Hitler,
well, yeah,
Lenin,
sure,
Mao were not communist fascists. Mussolini were not communists or fascists. They were 110% anarchists. They were not there to create us a communist utopia. They were there to promise people communist utopia so they would destroy the system.
Yes.
And they could seize power.
And
then once
the
they
goal.
Got there, they implemented stuff. And again, I've had communists, self-ascribed communists, point out the fact that, no, man, you know, Stalin wasn't a communist. He was a military dictator. Yeah,
yeah,
that's the whole point. And again, that's the whole point.
And Hitler wasn't a Nazi, right?
They are anti-fascist,
right?
Because the term fascist is unfashionable. Again, getting into the thing of what is fashionable or not.
It was sure fashionable when the Democrats were in favor of it back in the 30s.
That is true. That is true. And but yeah, but now fascism is unfashionable.
They don't know
labeling your opponents as fascists and calling yourself anti-fascist while you conduct not necessarily fascist, because again, the tactics that we're seeing here, while they were used by people that we would later call fascists, no, it was used by anarchists.
That's what they
are. The Democrat Party and the Progressive Movement is an anarchist group.
Well, yeah, exactly. The whole goal, and they'll tell you that if if they think they're talking to a fellow traveler. Mm-hmm. The goal is to destabilize the government, cause strife and cause the government to fail. This is the anarchist playbook for forever.
Wait a second, Ellen.
What?
You called him a fellow what?
Oh, geez.
Huh?
He said he's a fellow
traveler.
Racist. Robert Lee's horse was traveler. You racist. Racisty racist.
Is that a segue, Jay?
That's a segue.
Wait.
We got let Alan finish.
Let me finish.
Yeah, sorry. I just
we'll do that next. We'll talk about all the leaves.
We are expert broadcasters, people. Just so you know, we are so fucking awesome.
This is the playbook for anarchists. They destabilize. They create the problem that they point out the government as failing to contain. So, you see the news reporters reporting this all the time. The Democrats and the anarchists and the Antifa and the Black Lives Matter are the ones creating the problem and creating the riots, whether it's at a Trump rally or anywhere else. They're the ones that are creating the riots. And yet when the media reports it, it is always portrayed as a legitimate response to whatever the hell the Republicans are doing. So
if you say anything about Antifa in Charlottesville, obviously you're a Nazi sympathizer.
Yeah. And it's and the just, goal, it's just, it's exactly, you know, the same thing happened in the Soviet side. The they took over, took power in the Soviet Union. So they took power everywhere they've ever taken power. They destabilize the government. They create this giant strife. The government fails because if the government can't maintain law and order, its primary reason for existence, its only reason for existence, if the government can't maintain law and order, then it has failed. And when it fails, regardless of the reason, it's overthrown and new people come in. And so the anarchist playbook is create this strife, make the government appear that it can't, you know, do anything about it, and then replace it with themselves. Of course, again, what always happens
within the government too are telling people to stand down. Right, again,
exactly.
The Boston police got their fucking asses kicked.
Yep.
That day. And the Boston police chief had nothing but glowing praise to level on the protesters.
Right. And then,
guess what? Yeah. So guess what? They can't maintain law and order because the people that are standing above them are saying,
right,
don't maintain law and order. Let it burn.
And then when the government does fail and the dictator moves in, all these people that created strife and riots and everything are the first ones that get killed.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no way in hell a dictator is going to let those murderous assholes screw up his situation.
They're both stupid and violent. That's not what you want.
Exactly.
And those are the very people that the opposition groups can then hook into.
Yep. So yeah, it's all.
So at least there's an upside to the fall of the government is at least those assholes are going to get killed.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, Traveler.
Traveler.
Okay, I have to go.
Oh.
Aww.
But you guys have fun. I'll talk to you next week.
Not me.
Well, why?
I won't be here next week.
You didn't put in for a vacation. I'm sorry.
I didn't submit my leave request. Well, it would be hard to do the show while I'm on a plane. So.
Okay. Well, we'll miss you.
You know what, Jay? There's free Wi-Fi on a lot of planes these days. I think you should put some fucking...
There's just something about being on a podcast. Well, actually, the plane would be landing, so...
Yeah.
Okay. Good night, guys.
Good night, Brita.
Hi, Brita.
Bye. Hi, Brita.
Ah, that's so fun.
Yeah, we're like 2 minutes from...
Yeah, I wanted just to put this as a sting at the end because, like, I literally laughed so hard.
Oh,
like when I read your email. I can't remember if I read it just before I went to bed or just when I woke up the following morning, and then I turned on the news.
Yeah,
and went, oh wait, Jay wasn't telling a joke.
Yeah, I here, believe it or
dead,
not,
we dead serious. I thought.
And I'd sent a note saying, I want to talk about this, the fact that ESPN pulled an Asian sportscaster because his name is Robert Lee.
And I laughed because, again, someone on the Squirrel Port Facebook page thinks Breida is a black woman because I always refer to her as a person of color. And I always refer to Jay as a person of color because, I mean, that's for those that don't get my motivations. That's my point of pointing out the fact that the Irish and Italians didn't used to be white. Now they are considered white. Hey, guess what? Race is just what we call it.
That's right.
Yeah. Race is considered anchored in stone for all time, but gender is fluid.
A super woke race people will call the Tutsi and the Hutu both black. They're exactly the same. Oh, yeah.
Rachel Dolezal black.
Tell that to them. They will call Rachel Dolezal back black. It's certainly Sean King. he's been able to dodge that really well. That, like, Rachel Dolezal, at least, like, it was not as committed as Sean King. That when confronted, she did admit. Well, also, right. Sean King was born with dark hair, and so that gives a little bit of thing. When you're born with blonde hair and blue eyes, it's awful hard to be from.
And your parents were too, and they're like, yeah, no, we're her biological parents, and
yeah.
I don't think we've heard from Sean King's parents. I think they're too ashamed.
Well,
anyway,
I think his dad did speak out about the fact that he's a little pissed off that Sean's saying that his wife was sleeping around. But yeah. either way.
But yeah, Now, did you hear the follow up? It is absolutely mind boggling. Oh no, no, ESPN didn't do that. That sportscaster asked to be taken off of Virginia Sports. Yeah. No, I'm going to go ahead and just call that bullshit right now. If he did, it was one of those, ha ha, maybe I shouldn't do the Virginia thing because I'm Robert Lee, ha ha.
Or no, here's what I guarantee it was, is the, if we pay you to do the sports cast, but because this guy's a part-time sportscaster.
Yeah.
He's not, this is not a major anchor. There's a reason why you haven't heard of this guy, because he just does college ball.
Right.
Games, and only does, like, I think they said like 8 a year or 12 a year. Very, very, you know, very, very small number. This is his night gig. He moonlights as a ESPN right. sportscaster. I guarantee ESPN, because again, this is they are a bunch of liberal idiots, but also they are a massive corporate entity. I guarantee the statement was, the board went, oh man, let's face it, they said we got to get this gook not to perform, because they're a bunch of progressives there, and they were all a bunch of white people talking behind closed doors. So they referred to him as they normally would behind closed doors. But they said, we got to get this guy out, because Robert Lee, how the fuck, you know, what went wrong with his stupid yellow parents. Yeah. And then when HR finally sat down, when they said, we'd like you to sit out this, you know, this one, we will pay you as if you were, you worked the night, but you get to sit home and drink beer. And, hey Jay, what would you do if your lovely employer, whom you love to work for and is not a bunch of liberal idiots, said, hey Jay, how about we pay you the exact same amount to write an article and to edit other people's articles, to just sit at home for a week and drink beer, and no vacation days.
Yeah, that would just be terrible.
Would you say, no, man, the principal's there, I'm going to write some more articles? Or would you say, yes, boss, I'm going to go home and drink beers?
I'm going to do what I'm told.
You might even have a little bit more carbs than you used to if they ask you nicely.
Yeah, the funny part is, I mean, we had a family friend, Robert Lee, who was Chinese. I suspect it's not terribly uncommon, because Lee is a common Chinese surname. Super Robert common. Robert is a pretty common American or English name.
What was that also his birth name? Because actually I know a ton of people that have similar names of the anglicized first name, you know, very noticeably Chinese last name. And no, that's not their name.
Right.
They were born here in America and all that. Their parents named them whatever traditional name is suited. I don't know what the Chinese naming traditions are, but they also knew, we're in America. We're not going to make all their friends in elementary school struggle through the very difficult Mandarin name. And so we are just going to randomly pick a common American, you don't see a lot of hunters or Cillians or all that none of the like goofy new agey first names. It's always Bob, Steve, Joe, Tom.
Yeah. Sam.
Hi.
A couple of jobs ago, I worked with a Sam who was Pakistani, and Sam was not his birth name. It was the closest approximation of his Pakistani name.
Was it at least Samir?
No. It was like Himayun.
Okay. So it wasn't even close. It was I just picked a name. I know
a lot of people do that when they come to the US, they USify their name. So people, because otherwise people are just going to mangle the shit out of their real name anyway.
Exactly. Oh,
I mean, that's Osawatomie. You know,
that's one of my common introductions when I meet someone of a non-Anglo heritage. Is he, hey, how you doing? Look, now that we've made our introductions, tell me how you pronounce your name so I don't go and butcher it now every time I talk to you.
It's Jay.
Just the first the letter.
You mean Jay?
All right. And we're out of time.
Night, y'all. I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Are you flying someplace to shoot things?
I am. I'm actually flying out to Arizona to go to gun sight.
Oh, man.
Ooh.
Gonna learn the Cooper combat method.
That's right. I'm all nice. Kinds of excited and not terrified.
Is he buried there?
I don't think so.
Are you making a pilgrimage?
pilgrimage to the shrine of the 1911.
That's right. I have to face Utah at all times.
All right.
Oh,
well,
yeah. Well, that's definitely, I need to go to Ogden someday.
If I don't get blown away by the hurricane, we'll be back next week.
Okay.
I'll be back in two weeks. Are you in high ground, Alan?
I am. I'm in the highest ground around. So.
All right. And you've got your ice and you got your soda.
Yep. I'm set.
You have spare batteries for your iPod.
I got all kinds of batteries.
Make sure.
And a generator.
Alan, make sure that for one exception, before the hurricane hits, make yourself a big pot of chili with beans.
Oh, man.
Because that way, if you lose power, you'll still have heat.
Yeah. Oh, and Alan, I don't think he needs heat. But no. Make sure you pee in bottles. Just to be on the safe side.
Just in case the cops show up.
All right. Bye, y'all.
Good night, Internet.